It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And for all of you listening on Talk Radio 790 KABC, as well as at akbc.com, this is Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And as usual, here I am, right here, on Memorial Day weekend, to be the managing partner of your life. And at this time, I usually say, "Hello, Kerry." But when I say that, no one answers, because Kerry Kasem, my co-host, is not with me this Memorial Day weekend. She obviously had something better to do. Actually, I'm not going to say where she is, but she's traveling, as she tends to do. She's got a lot going on. So I am flying solo today. That's right. I am here turning Murphy's Law upside down, taking negatives and turning them into positives. We had such an amazing show last week, I must say. So many comments. We've gotten emails. We've gotten mail at our Facebook page. If you haven't been to our Facebook page, go to Gervie's Law. Check that out. Like us on Facebook. And leave us a message if you want to talk about what we talk about. And, of course, we talk about law and life here at Gervie's Law, right here at Talk Radio 790 KBC. And this day, this Memorial Day weekend, we will be continuing our conversation about workers' compensation in California and across the country. Last week, for those of you who were listening, we had our part one of our workers' compensation shows on the demolition of workers' compensation. And you might have heard it again this morning when we talked about the demolition of workers' compensation. We had with us Jason Marcus, who is an attorney from Sacramento, Robert McLaughlin, an attorney from San Diego, and Judge John Gutierrez, retired, a 20-plus year judge in the workers' compensation system. So today, we are going to continue our conversation because there were so many comments, so many issues that came up, so many phone calls. And we're going to talk about the articles that have been disseminated to a number of different media outlets by NPR, National Public Radio, and, of course, ProPublica. ProPublica is based in New York. It's an independent nonprofit newsroom that produces investigative reporting in the public interest, and they have taken a number of months, probably over 10 months, to come up with an investigative report on the status of workers' compensation in California and around the country. And we are going to have a great show today because we have with us Judge John Gutierrez has come back for part two of this discussion. He is here in studio, and we are going to talk to him about the status of workers' compensation. And we also are privileged and honored to have with us the founder and president of Work Comp Central, which is the source for workers' compensation information in the industry throughout the country, David DiPaolo. And David will be joining us shortly by telephone from his office at Work Comp Central to discuss some of these issues that have been brought to the limelight by Michael Graybell, the writer at ProPublica, and by Howard Berkus, the writer at National Public Radio. Both of those people, Michael and Howard, were on the PBS NewsHour with Judy Woodruff, and she interviewed them, and they talked about
what is going on with workers' compensation and how the costs are being shifted to you, the taxpayer. The costs of workers' compensation, which include benefits that are supposed to be provided to injured workers, are now being passed on to programs such as Medicare, Social Security, State Disability, Obamacare, private insurance, and any other source where injured workers are forced to go because the insurance companies now have what David DiPaolo calls a loophole to be able to deny treatment. And in fact, we have learned that the system has probably denied approximately 92% of the denied utilization review decisions on medical treatment requests that have gone through independent medical review. And we will talk about that a little more after the break. I'm just going to read for you a couple of comments that we received after part one of the demolition of workers' compensation. This is on an email from, I'm not going to say her name, but she writes, doing this radio program may help somewhat in rehabilitating reputations of injured workers who have collectively suffered from propaganda from vested interests who paint all injured workers as frauds. It has gotten to the point that medical providers believe insurance carriers over applicants. She further states, how can an applicant get a fair medical opinion, by the way, an applicant is an injured worker, when the physician is chosen by the carriers? Whoever pays the money controls the medical opinion, and every attorney in California should know that fact. That was the first lesson I learned as an attorney working in L.A. years ago. So that comes from an attorney, and I'll tell you that there are a lot of people up in arms with the fact that the insurance companies are apparently not doing what they're set up to do, which is to provide benefits to legitimately injured workers. And by the way, there are a lot of them. I spoke this week at an entertainment law firm, and we talked about how anyone can get injured. Now, their interests seem to be more in protecting their clients and protecting their firm in terms of liability issues relating to workers' comp. However, the point that I made is I don't care if you're a lawyer, a judge, a doctor, a teacher, or work on an assembly line, work at a fast food restaurant, everyone can get injured. And while the super wealthy may be able to pay for their injuries and their disability insurance themselves, most people can't. And when it happens to them, they never thought it would happen, yet they realize that there is no help for them from the insurance companies who are collecting huge premiums from employers. And last week, if you listened, you heard a number of employers calling in saying that their premiums were so high. Well, I want to challenge those people to go to their insurance companies and find out why the heck the premiums are so high. There are a lot of injured workers who unfortunately become homeless. I guarantee you that the insurance company executives are not homeless, that there's a pretty penny profit built in to their bottom line, and if someone needs legitimate treatment and compensation, it is really easy now that the law is allowing it to be denied. Denied, denied, denied. If you want to go and read the demolition of workers' comp, that is at ProPublica.org. ProPublica.org, or you can go to NPR.org and you can hear about it and read about it on the NPR website. Also, Cal OSHA has talked about the problems in workers' comp. OSHA, which is the federal program, has talked about the problems. There are independent organizations that are saying that people who get injured don't stand a chance in getting the treatment they need to get back to their job so that they can earn their livelihood and support their families. It's amazing how doctors have a gun to their head. And we will talk to a doctor later in the hour. We will be talking to a doctor to find out what it's like being a doctor in the workers' compensation system. So you won't want to miss that. And I'll tell you, yes, I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn, as you've heard before. And we are an applicant's attorney who deal with injured workers. But what we're looking here for is independent opinions, people who are in the know, not on one side or the other, but can tell us some facts. So we are going to be back after this message. We're going to talk to David DiPaolo, the founder of WorkComp Central, and Judge John Gutierrez, retired. Stay with us. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. No one's jumping
It'll be home to 942 bursts of laughter, a 16-pound blackened turkey dinner, and the loudest burp on record. It will see its fair share of broken windows, broken bones, and broken hearts. But first, you have to find it. Start your home search at Zillow.com or on our family of apps. You can view millions of photos, browse historical pricing data, and even sign up for alerts when new homes hit the market. Zillow. Find your way home.
Hi, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. My office is starving. Got any snacks?
Staples has pretzels, granola bars, energy bars, trail mix, all at a low price.
Nuts?
Cashews, almonds, pistachios, pecans, walnuts.
Chips?
Potato chips, corn chips, whole grain chips, gluten-free chips.
Whoa, that's a lot of snacks.
We also have antacids. Tablet antacids, liquid antacids. Make on budget happen, make breakdown happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a 42-ounce bag of M&M's milk chocolate or peanut candy for just $8.99.
Offer valid on SKU 689508 and 689504 and 523 while supplies last. See store staples.com for details.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey & Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
In remembrance of those who made the ultimate sacrifice to secure our freedom, KABC would like to take a moment of silence. We are forever grateful.
Oh, yes. That's right. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I hope you are enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. I certainly am. And we are talking about some important issues having to do with workers' compensation. If you are just joining us, this is the second show in a row that we are dealing with important issues that have been made public by ProPublica and NPR, who have done articles on the demolition of workers' comp and how there is cost shifting to the taxpayer, where the insurance companies are not footing the bill for injured workers who legitimately need treatment and compensation. I am now happy to welcome to Gervey's Law David DiPaolo, who is the founder and the president of WorkComp Central. David, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you so much, Alan. Appreciate it.
It's great to have you on. Now, David, just for a background, tell us a little bit about WorkComp Central, what it is, how you have made it into such a huge success, and why people look at WorkComp Central to get all of their news about workers' compensation.
Sure, Alan. WorkComp Central started in 1999 after I had practiced workers' compensation defense law in California for about 18 years before that. And the whole purpose was to published news about workers' compensation because I got tired of showing up in court.
And David, tired of showing up at our office for depositions, too, as I remember.
Actually, I really enjoyed depositions with you and your former partner. Anyhow, having John slap down, Judge John slap down a decision in front of me after I had spent much time preparing for a case that would completely change my tactics and strategies. So I started to publish news and information about workers' compensation, and it just sort of took off after that. We've been in business now for 16 years, and the world of workers' compensation never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah, I can believe that. And, of course, you're at workcompcentral.com, and you do a blog, which is very interesting. It should be required reading for everyone who's in the industry. Recently, I believe it was during this past week, you wrote a blog on the dog will bite. Tell us a little bit about why you wrote. And by the way, you're an incredible writer. You use metaphors great in really interesting ways. And tell us about The Dog Will Bite, why you named it The Dog Will Bite, and what it's all about.
Well, thanks, John. Yeah, The Dog Will Bite. So here's what I'm getting from recent media issues and OSHA and a lot more information that's coming up. As you know, Alan, workers' compensation is, off the radar screen for the vast majority of people. Most people don't even know what workers' compensation is, except for maybe a fleeting glimpse of the topic on SpongeBob SquarePants episode The Splinter.
Yeah.
But the media has brought it out that, there's been so many changes, reforms, or so-called reforms in workers' compensation across the states that benefits have declined. And what I've been finding, what we've been finding out is limitations on benefits artificially transfer responsibility for those injuries onto different governmental entities, and principally Medicare and Social Security. An example of that I point out is the artificial limitation on temporary total disability payments in California to 104 weeks. Yeah. And so if you have an injured worker who just doesn't get better within 2 years, and there are some people that are in that category, I mean, not everybody heals as quickly as I do.
By the way, David, you make a good point, because people are very quick to make fun of people who get injured, but they don't realize we're all different. If we were all robots, then maybe the system would work much better. But we have reactivity to certain stimuli very differently, and while you and I may heal quickly, a lot of people don't, and it's not their fault. Sometimes they lose their families and their homes because they have complications after an injury.
There are so many stories, Alan, of good, hardworking people that absolutely want to get back on the job or do something productive and they just can't. And when you pull the rug out from underneath them and all of those resources that they would otherwise independently be able to access, now you make it impossible for them to return to work. So it is absolutely a problem, and those people end up on the public rolls, whether it's going to be through Medicare, Social Security, disability, or even state disability, or alternative programs, too. There's just many, many stories of that happening. And unfortunately, I don't believe that there's ever been an adequate academic study that sufficiently
addresses these things,
and quantifies them so that the public can understand. There's been some work in the past, for instance, John Burton out of Rutgers University has done some good studies, but there hasn't been any real good quantification of the costs onto society. I estimated in the Dog Will Bite article that the cost to Social Security of the artificial limitation on disability payments is about $12 billion a year. So that should get somebody's attention, because especially when we're complaining that Social Security is running out of money, well, it's running out of money in part because
the shifting of the costs. And you know, I'll tell you something, David. We need independent studies. We need people who don't have a vested interest. Work Comp Central, of course, is not on one side or the other. It's a news agency, so to speak, and you are reporting from both sides of the fence. You're calling a spade, and that's what's important. When we talk about the article from ProPublica and NPR, the articles, you know, they talk about things like how much is your arm worth? Depends on where you work. Can you explain that concept from your perspective? Because they do a good job. I think one of the examples they give is someone who is in southern Georgia may get compensation around $30,000 or $40,000 for an amputated arm, where if you go across the border to Alabama or wherever it was, they're getting $600,000 or $700,000. So how is that working from state to state?
Well, as you know, Alan, workers' compensation is a state-based system. It was engineered that way. The states want their own rights, and I certainly understand that. That's the way it should be. We all want our own space. But the valuation of an injury, so to speak, is different and depends on how a state is going to formulates its system. So, for instance, in California, we have a very complex way of determining the value of a body part. Other states just use a very simple scheduled formula. An arm is worth $30,000, and that's it, or a finger's worth $3,000. Some states, loss of an eye may not be worth anything. In other states, the loss of an eye is worth $40,000. And so the reason it varies is because each state is left to make up its own rules. And now we have some states that are looking at providing systems or providing employers the right to go outside of workers' compensation, and then it's a purely a contractual relationship with the employee.
Right.
Employees have no idea what they're getting into when they work for those guys.
You know, David, we hear all the time employers calling our program saying, our premiums are so high, our premiums are so high. Well, there's a couple questions that emanate from that thought. One being, what are you getting for those premiums? Why are they so high? And the other being, If you are part of this bargain, would you prefer to get sued where there's no insurance and may potentially have your business closed down because of a work injury? What are we supposed to make of these employers? And I'm one, you're one. We know that work comp premiums are high, but what do we make of them saying workers' comp is driving me crazy, I can't pay my bills?
Well, anybody that says that their work comp premiums are too high likely has greater management issue problems with the business than just workers' compensation. So I would take a look at that business's entire financial picture and the management structure, because something's wrong there.
Good point.
Secondly, an employer that is complaining about workers' compensation isn't taking control of their cases. The fastest way to lower your experience in a workers' compensation with your workers' compensation insurance company is to make sure they pay the claim and settle the case as quickly as possible. The longer a case lasts, everybody knows the more expensive it gets. That's
right.
When attorneys become involved. That's when disability becomes prolonged. And that's when medical decisions take way too long and conditions deteriorate. So, for those employers, you need to take a look at your internal practices because something's not right.
You know, that's an excellent point. I want to bring Judge John Gutierrez. He recently retired. He's going to come into the discussion here. I'm just going to read a quick quote so you can see where he's coming from. He says in one of the decisions that he wrote, workers' compensation is a moral and social economic contract pursuant to social legislation to redress the harsh, draconian injustice and inequities of the Industrial Revolution for the protection of all past, present, and future injured workers and their affected families, and where the concept, spirit of policy, and purpose of workers' compensation is embodied within the constitutional mandate of Article 14, Section 4, and as interpreted by the California Supreme Court in bank decisions in Braidwood and Garza. Judge Gutierrez, welcome again to Gervie's Law. We appreciate you coming down here and voicing some of these opinions after being on the bench for many, many years.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. I also want to tell David, you have a wonderful resource, David, that is helping many, many people, and I just want to congratulate you on that. You have a great organization. that provides vital information.
And when you say that, Judge Gutierrez, when you were on the bench, was Work Comp Central one of the sources or resources that you would go to learn about issues that may not have been prevalent in your particular courtroom?
Yes, I would. I would look at that every morning to see if it was a new case, a new article. It was very helpful.
And what did you find in reviewing Work Comp Central? There are so many issues that come up. Were you able to recognize certain issues that you saw in your cases and that you were hearing about firsthand?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say that David made some excellent points.
Yeah.
Yes, there were issues that were brought up in Work Comp Central with regards to temporary disability, the limitation of 104 weeks, the denial of medical treatment, which was very, very frequent, and these are issues that we dealt with more frequently than I like to, but there were issues that attorneys were filing expedited hearings to get these treatment issues decided. This was before Dubon 2.
Right.
And so, to me, that was a travesty.
You know, we're talking about due process. David, in the work that you've been doing, how has due process played a role in denial of individual rights, notwithstanding all of the laws that are supposed to be in place to ensure fair and equitable results?
Can I tell you the biggest shame that I see with this system is benefits have deteriorated to such a huge point that the average injured worker cannot get an attorney to represent him or her because there isn't enough money to pay an attorney. And that's a shame. And I'll tell you why. It's because now you've got completely somebody that is not versed in the law, and workers' compensation
right.
law now is extremely complex.
Have you heard that it's overcome federal tax law is the most complex law and regulatory system in the country?
Well, I don't know about that. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah,
I know that the code book's damn big.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because you talk about attorneys, and again, this isn't about us. However, you know, Gloria Allred once said on our program that she speaks out in the media because she's providing a voice to those who don't have a voice. And
mm-hmm.
attorneys, even though, you know, people give us a bad name, the fact of the matter is, without us, I don't know how injured workers could navigate the system.
You got to be, very adept, and you really have to spend a lot of time learning the system, and you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And I agree. I simply don't see how injured workers can navigate the workers' compensation system now without assistance of an attorney, unless it's a very minor injury. If there's going to be any disability, good luck.
So the question I have now, I want to talk quickly about MPNs, which is Medical Provider Networks. And
mm-hmm.
you had an article in Work Comp Central, which was by one of the reporters, Sherry Akimoto, and it stated that there was potentially bullying of doctors or self-policing billing rules in these MPNs. The question being, are the doctors being bullied, or are the MPNs, which is a medical provider network, are they just doing their jobs? What do you see from your perspective in this regard?
Well, you know, as you know, Alan, the medical provider network system was devised to put more employer control over physicians, and that's just the bottom line. The reason was because there was perception that treatment was costing too much, and that there were too many procedures that were being requested that were not in line with the injury that was
right.
alleged. So, but the flip side is, we're finding that there's a lot of physicians that didn't even know they're in a medical provider network, let alone understand that they're under the control of an employer. So the story that Sherry broke highlights an issue that is problematic, and that is communication with the physician. The physician owes a duty to the injured worker for treatment, but apparently also has a conflicting duty to the employer to provide information and control costs. And that's almost an untenable position for a doctor to be in, because it violates
the Hippocratic Oath and
right.
puts the doctor in a very bad corner. A lot of physicians just aren't going to put up with it anymore, and we're seeing an exodus of good practicing physicians that just don't want to put up with that anymore. And that leaves us with a class of medical providers that may not be the best solution for any given injury.
You know, David, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was also going to just mention that we're also seeing delays in medical treatment that complicate and make the case worse. And that is a product of all of the various machinations and different rules and people sticking their fingers into the medical treatment process.
You know, to your point, I just received a letter just yesterday from one of the top neurosurgeons in the state, probably in the country. And in his letter, he writes the following. The practice of medicine is changing and not necessarily for the better. Personal connections and customized care are becoming increasingly difficult in this period of ever-changing health care coverage. Because of these changes, insurance companies are denying virtually everything that was previously done without authorization. With significant reductions in reimbursement rates and the daily challenge of having to justify procedures that routinely had been done without questioning your physician in the past, knowing that I'm unable to provide the care that I once did for so many patients is disillusioning and disheartening all at once. And the bottom line is, he says, it is with mixed emotions as I sit here and write this letter, I have decided to close my medical practice in Los Angeles. You know,
That's not an unusual statement, Alan. That is unfortunately becoming much more reality. In managed care, whether it's in the group health setting or in workers' compensation, the industries have adopted practice guidelines, and these are exactly that. They're guidelines. Unfortunately, at least in workers' compensation, they're not just guidelines now. They are the law.
The law. Without necessarily any evidence to go up in court to address whether, in fact, these guidelines should be followed. And
right.
You know, I know we have to let you go. We're going to have Dr. Ed Haronian on shortly, and he's going to address some of these medical issues. We're going to talk more to Judge Gutierrez. David, we really appreciate you coming on, and I'm sorry we can't have you on for the whole hour because, you know, it's a busy Memorial Day. You got a lot of things. You got a family to take care of, and we appreciate all the time that you've given us. For those people who don't read David's blog, you really need to read his blog. You'll understand much more about this process and how it is impacting every single taxpayer in our state and in our country, not just those who are injured at work. WorkCompCentral.com, look them up and follow them. It's really worth a read on a daily basis. David, thanks for being on Gervie's Law.
Thank you so much, Alan, and have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks, you too. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk more to Judge John Gutierrez and have Dr. Ed Haronian on. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I'm a freelance photographer, and I handle my own business. That's why I use QuickBooks Self-Employed. It's a simple program that helps me estimate my federal quarterly taxes and separate my business and personal expenses. Say I buy a new lens. The purchase pops up on my phone. I just swipe left to file it as a business expense. And tickets to a ball game with my kids? I swipe right to file as personal.
Dad, I'm hungry.
And swipe right for the hot dogs. That's how I own it.
If you work for yourself, try QuickBooks Self-Employed with a free 30-day trial. Learn more at QBSelfemployed.com.
Hey, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. My office needs coffee bad. Got any?
Yep, and at a low price.
You have cups?
Staples has 12-ounce cups, 8-ounce recyclable.
Stirrers, filters, creamers, sweeteners?
Stirrers, filters, creamers, sweeteners, K-cups.
Hazelnut, French vanilla, French roast, dark, light, medium, bold, extra bold.
And decaf.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
No reason. Make on budget happen. Make caffeinated happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a 30.6-ounce can of Maxwell House Original Roast Ground Regular Coffee for just $5.99.
Offer valid on SKU 645929 in store and online. It's $5.23 while supplies last. See store staples.com for details.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Kicking off the unofficial start of summer. This Memorial Day weekend. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. We are doing our part two of the demolition of workers' compensation, and we are talking with Judge John Gutierrez, who is retired, and we just spoke with David DiPaolo, the founder and president of Work Comp Central, who had some enlightening remarks. Now, Judge Gutierrez, you are no longer on the bench. Tell us how you were able to get through this long career and have to be as impartial as you've been, notwithstanding some of the inequities that you have acknowledged in your decisions.
Well, and again, thank you for having me. Ever since 2004, which was the reform which was pushed through by Schwarzenegger,
right,
it has become more and more difficult at least for me, to see the system even-handedly dispense justice.
Right.
And so how did I do this? I felt like I needed to rely on the intent behind workers' compensation, the concept that was developed during the Industrial Revolution to at least give some benefits, some justice to the injured worker.
Let me ask you this, because a lot of times what I'm hearing from judges, not only you, but from a vast majority of them, is that they feel like their hands are tied. They feel like they can't do what they were sworn in to do, which was to provide due process to both a defendant and an injured worker. And what their problem is that the law has now dictated in certain areas the inability to have a judge make decisions on the evidence.
That's true, Alan. That's very true, and it's very sad.
And did you feel like your hands were tied?
I felt that my hands were tied. In some situations, especially with recently with the new legislation with regards to Senate Bill 863,
right,
that basically tied our hands to even decide issues of medical treatment.
Yeah.
That was very difficult for me because although I had to apply the law as it was indicated in the labor code,
right,
but at the same time I was conflicted with the concept behind the purpose and the reason for having workers' compensation.
Isn't it true, Judge Gutierrez, that in the past you would look at medical evidence from medical experts who had seen
the injured worker who had performed examinations, and you were able to read the reasoning behind the treatment which was recommended, versus now, pursuant to SB 863, that the independent medical review process puts that decision-making in the hands of a faceless, nameless person, we assume, who we assume spends a few minutes reviewing records, we don't know what they are, and they make the decision versus you actually being able to read and the evidence and make a decision.
That is what's happening as a result of SB 863. Before that, judges were able to look at the reports,
right,
both defense and applicant's reports, and weigh the evidence, weigh the medical evidence, and determine which report is more persuasive and which was more reasonable, which was rendered a reasonable medical probability that this injured worker required this treatment or sustained this type of injury and had this particular disability that the doctor had assigned.
Isn't it also true under the cases of Tyler and McClune that if you weren't satisfied with the evidence, you could send it out and request...
And develop the record.
Develop the
That's
record,
correct.
Which would help you ascertain where the decision needed to go.
That's correct. That's correct. That was part of our impartiality in trying to determine what the nature and extent of the injury was. Yes.
And now, with Maximus ruling the IMR process, there is apparently no due process because they can't even be appealed, for the most part, the IMR decisions to the judges. In fact, we have two cases now, the Ramirez case in the 3rd District, and we have also the Stevens case, which is up in the Court of Appeal, on questions of constitutionality based on due process and equal protection.
Oh, that's correct. That's correct. The Ramirez case is one where the insurance company had... At one time, it was providing home care to Mr. Ramirez, and then it...
Yeah, no, that's a different Ramirez. That's the Riverside
that's
Ramirez.
That's the Riverside
case.
Ramirez.
Yes, this most recent one is an IMR appeal from the district up north.
Okay.
But that Ramirez case that you're speaking of was one of the main cases discussed in the demolition of workers' compensation by ProPublica and NPR. One other point that I would want to ask you, and I don't want to be personal about it, but... What caused you to retire after, you know, all these years? And you were such a well-loved judge because you cared about what you were doing and you put so much thought into your decisions.
Alan, it was a very difficult decision for me to make. But I felt I had to reflect. I feel that there was a war going on against the injured worker. And it was taking place in the legislature, which was being facilitated by the legislature's influence by what I call the capital class.
Right.
That influenced many legislatures to pass these draconian laws that are going against the injured worker. They're not helping the injured worker. They're actually delaying treatment.
Yeah.
They're reducing benefits.
And I appreciate that, but not only that, from what you're saying, it seems to me that the doctors who have spent so much time learning workers' compensation lingo and everything are also impacted. I want to bring in the conversation now one of those doctors, Dr. Ed Haronian, and I want to ask him how these laws have impacted the doctors as treaters and as evaluators. Dr. Haronian, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hello, Alan.
How are you?
Wonderful. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how doctors are impacted by what Judge Gutierrez has just called draconian laws, SB 863 and 899 before it.
Wow, draconian is a nice adjective. I know you guys just used the word shameful. That is also descriptive. Recently, the laws have been changing. I think every month we get a new law that comes out, and everyone expects the physician to have knowledge of all these different laws and regulations, and we have to actually read WorkComp Central often to make sure that we keep up with the law. But shameful and travesty is actually a good description to the new system.
You know, Dr. Hironian, speaking of WorkComp Central, they recently wrote an article about bullying, the insurance companies bullying through the MPN process. Can you explain from your perspective, and I'm not going to ask you whether they're bullying or not, but tell us why certain people think that there's a gun to doctors' heads.
You know, they developed the MPN process just to give the legislature to give more control to the carriers and to control the physicians. And like David said, that in reality, our obligation is to the patient. The Medical Board of California is the one that dictates what we do, and our main obligation and our oath is to the patient. And so I think the legislature was unhappy with that situation, and they wanted total control on the physicians.
You know, but I'm sorry, Dr. Herman, we have to take a quick break, but we're talking about life and death here. So you make some excellent points that, you know, they're taking away the powers, but yet we're talking about human beings' well-being. We're going to talk more about this when we return from the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hey, everybody, it is Michael D. Catherwood. Some of you call me Psycho Mike. And on the next Dr. Drew Midday Live, I'm actually joined by the guy whose name is on the show. Dr. Drew, he returns to talk to me about his world tour to see his many children graduate from college. Oh, how exciting. It's all on the next Dr. Drew Midday Live right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Oldies, doo-wop, nostalgia. Dick Fox's doo-wop extravaganza on June 6th at the Arcadia Performing Arts Center brings the best of golden oldies live, featuring Lou Christie, The Fleetwoods, Brian Hyland, Chris Montez, and The Happenings. Buy tickets at ArcadiaPAF.org.
Orange County Mattress is pleased to present the Tommy Bahama Mattress Collection. Save 50% off the retail price during this introductory offer at all Orange County Mattress locations. And mention this radio ad and save an additional $200. For a location near you, log on to ocmattress.com. Orange County Mattress, where you're the mattress expert.
On the air, online, and on iHeartRadio, we are Talk Radio 790 KABC, LA's first.
The home of the free, because of the brave. In remembrance of those who made the ultimate sacrifice, we are forever grateful. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Wow, what a show we're having today. This is really, really enlightening to hear about all of these aspects of workers' compensation that you, the public, may not be familiar with. We've had David DiPaolo from WorkComp Central on, and we've got Judge John Gutierrez retired with us. We hope you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. Also, we are speaking with Dr. Ed Hironian. Dr. Hironian, I want to pick up on something that you said before the break when you talked about how it's difficult for a doctor to actually be a doctor based on their training and expertise. How does that occur in the workers' compensation system? What examples do doctors experience where they feel that perhaps they're not given the leash to do what they need to do, and it's being pulled back every time they make requests or decisions?
Right. So, as I said before the break, the carriers have the ultimate power of including or excluding a physician from their list. And SB 863 and 899 has indicated that the carrier has the sole discretion to decide which physician is on their list and which physician is not. There's no real recourse to question that. So the carrier can basically one day say you're on the list and another day you're not. And
do you believe there's profiling that goes on with that?
I think, no, there is absolutely profiling. The carriers actually give you a contract to sign, and in their contract, it actually does say that we are going to profile you.
And what does that mean?
That means if you're taking the side of the patient, if you're requesting too much treatment, or if you're providing opinions that they don't like, then they can just remove you from that list, and there is really no recourse.
Wow.
That in mind, that results in the inability of the physician to provide honest opinions. And so when you take the side of the patient and when you try to provide a treatment that is needed, and if the carrier dislikes it or disagrees with it, they can just simply remove you. Or they can profile you to indicate how much money they are paying on the cases that you are seeing, and if it's more than what they like to see, they can just simply remove you.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry, but I got to move.
Yeah, of course. And the law was designed so that nobody can question that.
Okay, so the question I have to follow up with that is, you're a doctor and a very, very well-respected one at that. You see a condition of a patient that involves issues and conditions that are perhaps outside your specialty. What can you do, you know, in a typical situation, if I'm using my group health and a doctor, I see a doctor and they say, oh, your blood pressure's high, they may want to refer me out to a specialist or whatever the situation. How does that work in workers' compensation?
You know, in a regular situation when there's regular health insurance, you request it, and
right.
Well, it happens very quickly. In a workers' compensation system, you have to request authorization, and if the adjuster or somebody in the insurance carrier disagrees, that will never happen. And if you do request a consult, they can actually just remove you from that list, and basically that's the end of you and the relationship between you and that specific carrier.
And that's notwithstanding the individual's health needs.
Absolutely. And then this goes back to the previous subject that the patient has to use. Either they have to pay on their own, or they use their Medicare,
and that's,
or the Medicare
health
insurance.
You know, Dr. Roman, that's where the cost shift, that's where we started this program off, shifting of costs to the taxpayer. Judge Gutierrez, we just are almost out of time. I want to talk about what we can do. And I'm going to ask you the same question, Dr. Ronian. What do we do to try to help people to improve the system so there really is justice, and not only justice, but fairness for people who are suffering?
Well, first of all, we need to get people invested in the workers' compensation system. And what I mean by invested, they need to understand that what is going to happen to them when they get injured. There are many people who continue working, but they don't have an injury. But one day, they might have an injury. What happens then? Well, they probably don't even think about workers' compensation until it happens to them when they need that treatment. Unfortunately, once they have an injury, they have now become a second-class patient.
Right.
They don't get the same quality of care that they should be getting that the doctor's recommending.
So we appreciate the comments. We need to get out to the legislators. We need to get the word out independently, not from special interests. We need to look at the system. Judge Gutierrez, thank you so much for
You're
coming.
You're very welcome.
It's really appreciated, and we wish you all the luck, and thank you for speaking out on these issues. Dr. Haronian, you're going to have the last word. We have 30 seconds. You know, he talks about the care and the predicament the doctors are in. How do we help this situation?
How do we help them? We appreciate all this information that is being provided. I think it needs to go back to the legislature. And until everybody recognizes these problems, I don't think anything will change. So we have to push forward and keep doing our best.
We appreciate all the great work you're doing, Dr. Haronian. Thank you for being on Gervie's Law. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.